Hello, 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 and welcome to the very first episode of the Tribe Urban Podcast. With me, we have amazing people. You're definitely going to hear something that's going to change your life. You're going to be transformed by the things you hear in this podcast. But first, let's talk about our guests. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. They're beautiful. They're all smiling. They're excited. They're all quiet. Guys, speak up. Use your microphones.
I could see. Make it seem like we're all just letting you do all the talking.
But well,
we're
here. For a second, it did feel that way.
I mean, that's how introductions go now.
I suppose you have a point.
Yeah.
Well, now that I'm done with the intros, let's hear your...
Hi, everyone. My name is Jeffrey. When people ask me what I do, I always tell them I do my best, and it's spiraled into a conversation.
Does your best bring money?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That sounds great.
And more importantly, joy.
Even better.
Hi, everyone. My name is Chinedu. I am doing better.
Nice one.
Okay, hi. My name is Maureen. I can't beat this. I can't beat your best. I can't beat your better. So that's
you're doing great.
Okay. You say so.
And I am Kosi Diamonda, and I'm the host of this amazing podcast. So today I'm going to tell you the topic, and it's called Nailed It. And I'm going to let our guest tell you a little bit more about that. But this is an Easter podcast. So we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to talk about his sacrifice for us and the significance of that. So, guys, who wants to tell us a little bit more about the topic and kick off this podcast?
Is it okay to say I don't even know what you're talking about?
So this is a setup. Normally, before a podcast starts, you give people like,
context.
Exactly. Yeah. Questions. Possible questions. I'm like, come off. You know, this is where
like,
you... But here we are.
It's impromptu, so, you know, we might as well. But I'm not going to be the one to start stuff. So.
Well, guys,
we're
that's just let you know that
baton to...
everything that you get from here is fresh.
I'm telling you, very fresh.
Unrehearsed.
But that's the best kind of content, isn't
well,
it?
I love the title. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Sounds like a Nike slogan.
Like sounds like it has a lot of meanings.
Just do it. Nailed it. So the topic of Easter is, let me just put this caveat out there. I don't necessarily fancy talking about Christian celebrations like Easter or Christmas.
Why?
Well, I think growing up for me, I didn't really understand the idea or the point because it was more about the celebration and less about
significance.
Do you understand? It's just like how we place more emphasis on emblems or symbols as opposed to the true meaning behind them.
Okay.
So for me, it was just always, Easter. Okay, let's come up. Like up to now, I don't even know what day Easter is, and I haven't been bothered to check.
I don't think there's a particular day.
There's
for
no
Easter.
Particular
day. No, I was born on Easter.
Okay.
There's a day for
you
this.
You were born
year.
On Easter.
What year?
Don't worry about the year.
I want a back check.
but yes, it was Good Friday when I was born.
In the year you were born, because it changes.
Yeah, it changed. The year I was born, it was Good Friday.
Hi, Good Friday. Why didn't they name you Good Friday?
Good Friday.
Blood was shed for you.
From death.
Oh, do you know, I just realized something. The question you asked was, why didn't they name him Good Friday?
Yeah.
I thought you said, why is it called Good Friday?
Oh, no. I mean, do you have the answer to that question?
I don't. I was hoping to learn.
Why is it called Good Friday?
Maureen.
I
feel like you'd have the answer.
You have the answer.
I don't know why they call it Good Friday, but what I know is that the testimony of the death and the resurrection of Jesus is good news. And of course, we're talking about the gospel and itself is good news, right? So I would say that they call it Good Friday because the Friday begins the goodness of the entire season, right? That's my angle. So I'm sticking there until someone tells me something different.
My own angle is this. It's the day that our good Lord died. It
wasn't really a Friday. It wasn't really a Friday.
It doesn't have to be a Friday. I think the whole point is to celebrate the significance of
don't mind me, I was just trying to be extra.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So who wants to tell us the story of Easter? I think that's a good place to start.
I feel like you should call people by names.
Fine. Who's going to be the first scapegoat? Chinedu, the blood was shed from you. It's written right on your shirt. Your shirt. So definitely going to be the first pick here.
So Easter, do you want Christianese or non-Christianese?
Bro, we're here
Christianese?
To...
Don't mind me. Easter is the celebration about the dead, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
So it represents what our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, did for us by dying, by taking on the sins of the world. And not just dying, Easter, which is the Sunday, is also significant of his resurrection and how we have resurrected him as well. So that's just the simple
the long and short. Okay, I'd like us to unpack the dying. Why was it necessary for Christ to die for us? What makes that Good Friday Day, that particular event, significant? We're going to talk about why the resurrection is important, but let's start from the first event. Why did Jesus have to die for us?
Okay. I think Maureen can answer
Maureen. I think I'm going to use my eyes to call people now, so I'll be like...
Okay, so before we talk about the death of Jesus, we first have to talk about his life. And then we have to trace it back to the life of God from the very beginning. Okay. And then we'll talk about man before the death.
Yeah.
So before man existed, God existed. Mm-hmm. And got to a point, I guess they had a conversation in heaven, and but the three of them said, okay, let's share ourselves. Let's make another divine being that's going to live upon the face of the earth, and they're going to have our nature. Mm-hmm. So man was born. And that became sort of the Trinity. We now have all, well, I believe that in heaven we're now four.
Yeah.
Right? Mankind seated in one place and then the Godhead.
Yeah.
So, when God placed this man that was made in on earth in the Garden of Eden, God gave a command, a responsibility. It's all of this, but then don't touch this, because in the day you eat this, you're going to die.
Yeah,
that die is not physical death like we all know, because Adam didn't die on the spot almost immediately. He lived a couple of years after that day, but it was a spiritual death, right? And because all mankind have our origin in Adam, that death, spiritual death, translated to mankind, and that death signifies the separation of separation from the life of God. It also meant that we had lost an authority, we had lost our place, we had lost what God has given us authority to do upon the face of the earth.
It kind of sounds like we lost our divinity.
We didn't lose the divinity, we still had it, but we lost the authority to fully manifest it, right? Because you can have power, but you won't have the authority to fully manifest it legally.
Okay.
And one of the things I've come to learn about God is that
emphasis
God,
on legally, please.
Yes, legally, yeah. So
you can have it legally.
Yes, you can have it legally. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there are certain powers that mankind has that will route away outside the person of the Holy Spirit. So the reason we can say we have it legally is because we have the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Conversation for another day. So, when mankind fell, we lost our right to use all of those things legally. And it could only take that, based on the justice system of God, heaven, and based on what we studied in scripture, it could only take the life of man, the life of his spirit, to help us reconcile and reintroduce back to the life we once had. So that's why the death was very important.
And legally,
God could have used any system,
okay,
to get us back. But because he is just, he is righteous, and because he operates in principles, it had to take that route, that severing us from the past life, which was of course the fallen life, and then using that as an opportunity to introduce us to the new life that we had. Not necessarily new life, the old life we had. That's why when you're checking
life.
If you check Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19, talks about how God reconciled us to himself. Reconciliation was important, or it was called reconciliation, because we once belonged. Right, so we lost the I don't know if I would call it the testament. We lost what gave us the authority to manifest our belongedness, if that's a word, right? So Easter is just an opportunity to say, oh guys, you lost this. I know you can't save yourself, so I'm coming to save you. So you can come back to where you once belong. That's the long and short of Easter. So it's more like an inroad, a door for everyone who, okay, you were here, you know, and then you lost it. Easter is an opportunity for us to celebrate our reintroduction into the family of God that we had.
That's deep.
Yeah. So you said you're also going to, you know, talk before talking about the death, you talk about the life.
Okay.
And I was like, that's actually true.
Yeah.
Because it's important to also, you know, pay attention to the way Jesus lived.
Yeah.
And not just the fact that he died for us.
Yeah.
While he was alive, there were things that he did that show that, you know, there's actually a way man is supposed to live and carry himself, you know, as a being, a divine being that has authority and dominion over the earth.
True.
So I think it's, you know, just as important to pay attention to the life. As much as, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So there's this joke we usually say at home, so that he died so we could live.
Yeah.
Right. And for us as believers, we are going to spend more time alive on the face of the earth than dead. So it's important for us to, like you said, pay attention to how Jesus lived, because that's what's expected of us also.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
Okay, that's really, thank you so much for that. That was really insightful.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm going to take you back a little bit, because I think maybe you spoke too quickly and I didn't really get it. But you said that he could have chosen anyone, but he chose to use his system, and he chose Jesus.
I said he could have used any other means,
method,
method to bring us back home.
Okay,
but because of the principles of life, I don't want to go into so much theology and all of that. So because of certain principles that had already been established, because of some principles, right, and systems that have already been established,
he
had to take that particular route to get us back home.
So why did he choose his son?
He chose himself.
True, deep stuff.
He didn't have to choose someone else. Chose himself. And we are also part of him.
Yeah.
So he actually chose himself and chose us to save us. Because we are all in God together.
I like that thing that Pastor Freddy says, when he says I took God to
save, God.
Save, like to redeem our
God,
to redeem us, because we are also God.
So yeah,
we're also like God.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense actually. Like,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
Who else or what else?
What else was
animals?
What
were used as sacrifices to atone.
Yeah.
And I want you to speak on this, because you know, but if you go back to the Old Testament and if you see some of the things that the Israelites were practicing, they were like a shadow or a foretelling of what was to come. So the whole idea of, you know, atonement, the whole idea of having a high priest, you know, you receive the sacrifice and then there's the cleansing and all of that. It's actually just, you know, a foretelling or a shadow of what Christ, you know, did. He was like the final sacrifice that cleansed, you know, the sin of all humanity. So, Chinedu, over to you.
What are you asking again? Okay, I'm going to say a couple of things. I have the permission to say that.
Yes.
God wanted his son. God, Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But let's just put it this way. Father wanted his son. Son is a federal name. It's not masculine.
True.
Right? It's a federal name. And it's a title for one who has an inheritance.
Okay.
Are you seeing why I say you should talk?
Yeah.
Right. So, we taking it back. God created man so that he could have a son.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, you know, there was a tree, and then there was the tree of life and all of that. So this is how I see it in my head. When God created Adam, Adam was supposed to complete a process of union.
Okay.
And that process was interrupted. And so that process was interrupted by, I'll call it a virus, which we call the devil.
The fall.
Right. There was the fall, you know, which was sin, you know, all of that, right? Yeah. Which was, you know, sort of instigated by the devil, right? But what God actually wanted was to, sonship is God wanting to actually have someone who would inherit all of him, especially in this domain called earth. That's what he wanted, right?
Yeah.
And then because that was interrupted, man began to be certain type of ways which were not in accordance to the way God
planned and all of them. Yeah.
But God in his infinite love and wisdom had already set in motion a plan to say, here's the thing, let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
In the scripture it says, before the foundation of the earth the lamb was slain.
True. Mm-hmm.
But the lamb wasn't actually slain on the earth.
Yeah.
But the lamb was slain. So if you say before the foundation of the earth the lamb was slain, so where was the lamb slain? Is that God was actually making man with an intent.
Mm-hmm.
God was making man with an intent. He had a reason to make man, and then he thought to myself, I want to create man, and I'm going to give him all that I have. I'm going to give him free will. But it's a slight chance and a slight possibility that him having all that I am and all that I have,
mm-hmm.
he could possibly not choose me.
True. Mm-hmm.
And in the event that he doesn't choose me, things are going to go out of place. But you know what? Let me make a contingency plan,
mm-hmm.
that should he not choose me, there'll be an opportunity for him to come back to choose me out of this same free will that I've given to him.
True. Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know what? What would be necessary for me to have man choose me back?
Mm-hmm.
I need to create a doorway. Right. Mm-hmm. My eternal system of justice allows that. It's a treasonable offense when you have sinned against, you know, mm-hmm. the higher authority. But in my mercy and in my grace, I need to make a system. I need to make something. I need to create something that would ensure that man has a way to mm-hmm. come back home. Because first of all, I am love.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this man.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to create an opportunity for you to come back. Should you decide at any point in time that you want to go
out
your
of your
way,
free will,
mm-hmm.
out of your way, because you're now acting as me. So, but I love you so much. You're the object of my affection.
Yeah.
And I would love to spend time. I would love to play with you. I would love to sit with you. I would love to do that. And then, just as he thought, you know, he made the plan. So before the foundation of the earth, the lamb was slain. Was that in the mind of God? He has already established that this is what would need to happen for man to be able to reconcile himself back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then man decided to still use the free will and go the other way. But because in his mind he has conceived of how he was going to solve the solution, he knew that he was going to come in the flesh still for man to be able to return back to God.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And so Jesus Christ died and he came back to life so that man could also come back to God.
Yeah, that was actually very beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Offering time.
I feel like we can call this a wrap.
No, we can't.
We can't. No. That's too short.
It's too interesting.
We'll miss out on a lot more.
No, but I think, like, I love how he broke it down and painted a very vivid picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, just back to the whole idea of, you know, it taking God to actually be the one to save us, because he's actually the one who if you like take a measure of who loves man the most, nobody else can. Nobody else has that capacity or power to do so. So it had to be God. You know, so it's.
And that is even the story of the prodigal son. That's also the story of the prodigal son. Because everything just played out exactly the way that happened.
Yeah.
He sort of saw it all the way to the end. And he came back to the beginning and still decided to make man.
Yeah. And we have like, that ability.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, that's really beautiful. I actually want us to talk, because you mentioned the life of Jesus. So I want you to share a little bit about the life of Jesus and tell us why Jesus is the perfect example. Why should we emulate Jesus? And what are some of the characters that Jesus displayed that we too must start to display in our daily lives?
Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm laughing is because Jesus, we usually say that Jesus is our perfect theology. And the reason we say that is because Jesus is the introduction that we have to the kingdom life.
Yeah.
As believers, we are not just called Christians. A lot of persons assume Christianity is a religion. But it is more of a way of life that stems out of the culture of a system, the culture of a government, the culture of a kingdom. So when Jesus was introduced into the scene, God knew that if he wanted us to live a certain way upon the face of the earth, we needed an example. God is not going to expect you to do what he has not given you ability or an example or a template to do. So sending Jesus was like, okay, I know I made them, I know I've given them free will, I've given them choice, I've given them, I've shared my sovereignty with them, but they still need help. Because this terrain I'm sending them to, they've never been there. So that's why Jesus was sent. When we look at the life of Jesus, we're not seeing Jesus separate from God. Everything we see Jesus do is also what the Father does in heaven. We believe that God resides in heaven, and there is also a civilization where God exists. So everything Jesus does upon the face of the earth is showing us what happens and where God lives, where Jesus came from, where we originally came from. Right? So for example, Jesus said he came so he could heal the sick, so he could raise the dead, so he could heal the broken hearted, give sight to the blind. And then Jesus also came to show us how to love God, how to love ourselves, how to love other people. Those are some of the basic traits of Jesus that is important for us to emulate, to further help us. The Holy Spirit, which is also God, was also introduced in the scene when Jesus was living to also help us live this life that God expects us to live. So Jesus, our perfect theology, you can never miss it if you follow the life of Jesus. Like some days I just open the Bible, okay, what would Jesus do? I actually do that. What would Jesus do in this scenario? And I would try to replicate it. Of course, because of the human nature and all of that, it's not easy, but it's a possibility. Jesus has already told us. When the Bible said, if within your means, live peaceably with all men, right? We know, looking at the life of Jesus, that Jesus tried to do that. So it's a possibility for us. So for us as believers, following Jesus is wisdom for us because we do not have an idea of where our life would take us to. But when we usually say follow who no road. When you follow someone who has already gone ahead of you,
he's the way.
That's what it means. Christ has been made wisdom unto us. His life experience has been made wisdom.
So we can't miss it if we follow him, because he is the way. He knows the way, and he's going to take us through the way to our destination.
So Maureen, I want you to also touch on something. What would you say to people who say things like, you know, Jesus Christ was able to live the way he lived because he was Jesus? Like, was how do you expect us to measure? Do you understand? How do you expect us to measure up to that, you know?
Okay, I think a lot of persons usually miss out on the fact that Jesus actually showed emotions. We think that Jesus was all superhuman, but he wasn't. He cried. We saw it in the Bible. He had emotions. We saw it in the Bible. He got angry. We saw it in the Bible, right? So just because we say, oh, be like Jesus, we're not saying that Jesus was not in any way like us.
So it seems like he was just cruising.
No,
cruising very nice.
But the Bible still tells us. The Bible still tells us that everything Jesus did was not documented. But the Bible also tried to show us the different parts of Jesus, the part of him that was angry, the part of him that had friends and all of that. So it's expected of us to live like Jesus.
Sorry, can you repeat what you just said? The part of him that had
friends,
yeah. Share yourself friendly.
Why are you looking at me? I have friends. Okay, you guys are my friends.
I take friendship very seriously.
I take it seriously. That is why I don't have so many.
Nice.
She has what she does. 12 key friends. 12.
12. Why not really? You have friends that were not disciples.
Key friends.
So you're saying Jesus had a lot of friends?
Yes. He had guys, Jesus. Most of the disciples were
many students.
Disciples. So until the point where he was like, you know what? I no longer call you. I now call you friends.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
he had spent time, invested time, intentional living.
Intentional. Right.
Sorry, I don't know why they have you on speaker.
maybe the Lord is speaking to them that you have to start making more friends. Maybe. So, okay, that's fair. I like that. Let's just wrap it up a bit. Let's talk about the actual resurrection.
Okay.
Tell us what the significance of Jesus' resurrection. I think you've already covered this, but let's reemphasize it before we wrap this up.
Take the question again.
The significance of the resurrection.
Okay.
Actually, in our modern time.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me try to use a story. And I'm going to copy the story from Pastor Toby. Pastor Toby would
That's
say,
how I was born, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shout out to Pastor John.
Okay, so Pastor Toby would always give this analogy. Let's say
your husband would always give this analogy.
It's okay, it's fine. Relax, we're ready.
Pastor Toby. All right. Let's say, Pastor, he would always say that. Let's say that we have two countries. Let's say one is country A, and then we have country B. And for some reason, country B, someone saw a vision of something that country B is going to go extinct. Maybe a flood is going to happen or something is going to happen to them. But someone in country B says, I have made plans for everyone in country A.
Yeah.
Right? To be transported into country B and they're going to have life. Mm. They're going to live. They're not going to die. Whatever is happening to country A is not going to affect them. Yes, you might lose your country, but you are alive. You have a safe place. For everyone who agrees, everyone in country A who agrees for that transportation to happen for them is subscribing to the resurrection life.
Oh.
If you choose not to, it still doesn't mean that the option is not available for you, but you just chose not to. So, as we the way we see life, we know that life as we know it, the Bible already tells us that this world is full of darkness. And of course, darkness was introduced based on the fall. But that's not how the story ends in the eyes of God. That's why he made that plan. Resurrection is an opportunity for us to escape this life that is already on the path to destruction. Right? People will usually say, why would God allow people to die or something? Why would God allow people to be destroyed? It's not as though God was allowing them to be destroyed.
It's just the way it
life is already leading them on the path of destruction, right? Resurrection is an opportunity that God has introduced to save people from destruction. So the implication of resurrection is you were dead. This is life. Have life so you can live and live abundantly. Living abundantly means living way past this physical realm, living and giving expression to your divinity. That's a long and short implication of the resurrection life, that you're living, but you're not living only paying attention to this physical realm, because life is much more than what we see. So that's the implication of resurrection. You want to live and live fully according to God's original template for mankind. You have to pass through the recommended route, which is through the resurrection, through the death, and through you acknowledging truly that this has been made available. Because just because resurrection is available doesn't mean everybody has acknowledged that it's available for them, and not everyone has accepted it. Right, so that's the implication. Yes, it is available, but not everyone. Part of what we're doing in partnership with God is to also help other people see this is available and then help them to actually accept it so they escape this destruction that's happening.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
That was a lot. Can I talk before they say what I want to say?
Yes, please. But you know what? Wrap it up for us.
Okay. I'll just share my own views, personal, and I'm open to conversations. But for me, I think the idea of resurrection, the reason why it's important is because, one, it goes to show us more than anything that death is not the end. And yeah. I know how, you know, there's some translations of God speaking to man in the garden and telling him not to eat of the fruit, that the day you do so, you will surely die. No, you will die. And in dying, you will surely die.
Yeah.
Like, the emphasis was,
emphasis.
Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. But even though it came from God, God is the ultimate source of life.
Yeah.
There is nothing that wants to die a sure death that will come in contact with God and will remain dead.
True.
Right? And that's what I'm saying, that resurrection was just important to show us that, first of all, physical death is not the end. Spiritual death is also not the end. Because in God, there is life. So, I think that's the important. I should have said this last. But another thing I wanted to say was that, you know how Jesus Christ was, while he was alive, kept on speaking about his death and resurrection. He kept on saying, and he spoke it with so much confidence that he believed
what
he was saying. Right? It didn't change the fact that, you know, the process was very gruesome and terrible. But he saw it already, and he saw beyond death. He saw beyond death, and he did that so that we, when we come into him, when read his story, accept him into our lives, and have the Holy Spirit ministering to us, we now live a life, you know, on a daily basis where we see beyond death. And if you look back, I don't want to be philosophical or anything, but one of man's biggest fear is what?
Death.
Exactly.
Nice.
So for me, that's the significance of resurrection in a nutshell.
Can I just add something?
Yeah, sure. Please.
Just to add that if Jesus Christ died and did not rise again, we'll have to be asking for forgiveness of sins like every time.
With the sacrifice.
It would have also made everything he said very hard to believe.
True. It would have made that very hard to believe. It would have also required that you needed another Jesus Christ to come. So it would have been no different from the goats and sheep that were dying. And so it's important to know that, you know, the scripture says that Jesus Christ was the second Adam, the last man. See, God had no other plan. That was the plan. He is God exists now. He had considered failure. And he knew that this thing, it was betting. He bet. It was a huge bet.
Yeah.
That he was going to. That's why Jesus Christ, when he wanted to die, you know, at prayer of getting there, he said, "Lord, let this cup pass over me."
I'm telling you.
He was praying because he didn't. That was where he experienced his humanity there. Lord, let this cup pass over me. And he was praying. Angel came to come and meet him and said,
Strengthen him.
You are great. You can enjoy that was set before him. He endured the cross because he was able to see beyond. So the fact that we have our sins forgiven is that Jesus Christ would have not been very significant if he did not resurrect. Right? Yeah. Because it would have been just like every other goat and sheep that, you know, we killed and all of that. Right? So he had to resurrect, and that resurrection allowed that even though sins that we commit in the future, right? Sins that we commit in our past are still in Jesus' future. So his resurrection life is testament that our sins are forgiven. And the scripture says that we are saved for good works, right? And his resurrection life is, you know, there's a scripture that talks about how the mighty working of his power that he wrought in Christ Jesus. It's like, let me just put it this way. It's like God used all his whole power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. No, that was very significant. It was very, very significant, right? And we need to be able to know that, see, you meant so much to Jesus. And so I put this very simple analogy, right? If you want to buy a Louis Vuitton bag, right, and you want to pay $1,000 for a Louis Vuitton bag, what is more important to you? What do you value more?
The bag.
You value the bag more. So the $1,000, you could really, really let it go. I dare say that God valued us so much that he paid Jesus Christ the $1,000.
Wow.
So that we could be reconciled to him and then brought him back to life so that we too will be brought back to life and then you will not have free that expression
means,
to be.
That means he's going to have more than one Louis Vuitton bag.
No, you're going to have one. That's why they call it the first begotten from the dead, you know. So it was also for us to, it was not just because when he was raised to life, he wasn't just raised to life like a normal man, right? He was raised and he was enthroned. And so if we died in him, we were buried with him. We were resurrected in him, and we're enthroned in him, in heavenly places. So we are seated in heavenly places.
Where would you rather be?
I'm telling you.
We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he needed to restore what Adam lost. So it was not just the dying, it was that after the death, there was something that happened. It took him back to what Adam would have been wanted in that throne. In Mark, I think God said, I will make you sit on my throne. I will make them sit on my throne just as you have made, that's Jesus. I'll make them sit on my throne just as you have made me sit on your throne, right? So it was necessary for the enthronement. Imagine a resurrection whereby, if you watch Thor, when Thor would go through the Asgardian bridge, and then, you know, just when they open up the portal and then he just lands. So imagine him, the whole of heaven was excited when he was in taking those that blow in hell, and then when he died and then he was raised back to life by God. Imagine him just stepping on that bridge and the whole place just screaming like it was a ceremony. Everybody was just watching to see, like, look at who we are going to crown king. And then he was given a name that's above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And then he says he's the head of all principalities and power. So he gave him a title, a name that is above, and now put us in him to make us also above.
That's incredible.
So that's the extent of the revelation. It was of the resurrection. It was also to introduce to us the life that exists in God, ahead of us in God, and that we are now called to live.
I think he's just sealed the deal. Like, if you have been listening, if you've been with us from the beginning, then I know you have learned a lot. Because I have learned a lot. I'm going back to re-listen and write some things down. Because this is key. This is the key to life.
Take things away.
He just said it. Okay, thank you guys so much for being here. I hope you
thanks
can
for
have
having
on
us
another time. I just want you guys to reintroduce yourself one last time so everyone knows who our special guests are. We have
Ladies first.
Oh, sorry. Ladies first. We have
Pastor Toby's wife.
Oh, my name is Maureen.
I'm Maureen. Thanks, Maureen.
My name is Chinedu. I'm the founder of the Brand of God.
And my name is Jeffrey, and I'm the co-founder of the Brand of God.
My name is Mario, and I'm a client of the Brand of God.
I'm a co-founder. All right, thank you guys so much. Thank you all for listening. I hope you can tune in again for the next episode. We love you. God loves you even more. Stay blessed.
Stay blessed.
Subscribe or run.